Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. I'm Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry and your host for Orphans No More. Joining me today is Peggy King, Volunteer Director of Program Excellence for Orphan Network, an orphan ministry in Nicaragua. Welcome, Peggy.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
So it's a pleasure to have you on the show and to hear about the work of Orphan Network in Nicaragua. For our listeners, Nicaragua is the largest country in Central America, about the size of New York State. It's the poorest Spanish-speaking country in the world. Natural devastation and political turmoil have taken a toll on the Nicaraguan people, especially the women and children. So, Peggy, share with us the unique challenges faced by the people, especially the women, the children, the girls.
Thank you, Sandra. In Nicaragua, we are faced with high unemployment rates, underemployment, and cyclical employment. In Matagalpa, which is our coffee-producing area of Nicaragua, the employment only occurs during harvest season. So there is abject poverty in that area and lack of nutrition. We've also identified that there's a huge amount of adolescent pregnancies in Nicaragua. 93% of teenage pregnancies in Nicaragua are the result of rape. The majority of these pregnancies are not from other boys, but by men who have sexually abused the girls. The girls are left to raise the children, unable to complete their education, leaving them with limited earning potential. Children suffer from lack of education, health care, lack of medicine, nourishment, representation, and justice. And we see a recurring cycle of poverty.
Wow. So Orphan Network believes that by investing in the children, a different future is possible for them instead of that cyclical, cycle that they're in, for lack of a better word. Peggy, share with us how Orphan Network began, because I found that story to be just a perfect example of how the church, anybody in the church, can stand up and do something on the behalf of vulnerable children.
You're right. This is just an amazing story. There were some high school boys who went to Nicaragua in the 90s and ended up in an orphanage outside of Managua. And that orphanage was extremely poor and underserved. It wrecked the boys' lives. They came home, and all they could think about was raising money sent to Nicaragua to the orphanage. They sold their clothing. They sold their belongings. They prayed. And I'm sure the parents at that time thought, well, this too will pass. You know, in a couple weeks it'll be gone. But it didn't go away. The boys continued to raise money over a couple of years. And finally, Pastor Michael Simone, whose son was one of these kids, went to Nicaragua in 2000 to see what these boys were talking about and why they were so led to serve these children. And that's how Orphan Network began. Orphan Network began in 2000 by Pastor Simone to support orphanages through the local church. This is a great example, as you said, Sandra, that anyone can make a difference if they're willing to accept the challenge. Over the years, in 2005, we expanded the work with the local, in the local churches, so not just in orphanages, but also in the local churches, to prevent the vulnerable children from being placed in orphanages because the parents couldn't afford them. We started with one feeding center, and now we are serving over 22,000 children every day in Nicaragua.
22,000 children. That is incredible. And just to think that it all started with some teenage boys, and we don't normally think of teenage boys as really being, you know, paying too much attention to things like orphans, and they were just wrecked by what they saw and didn't let it go, didn't forget, and it led to Orphan Network. So share with us, Peggy, what is the mission or the vision of Orphan Network?
Our mission is to rescue abandoned, abused, and orphaned children, to prevent vulnerable children from becoming abandoned, create opportunities for new life in our children, and share Christ with everyone. Our vision is to raise every orphan child and vulnerable child into their God-given potential. So we really want to give a hand up, out and help raise the children up. We do this by working with our local churches because we believe that the local church is the hope of the world. We identify successful Nicaraguan leaders who share our vision and the mission, and we get behind them. So the U.S. and our partners in the U.S. come behind our Nicaraguan leaders to improve the plight of the children in Nicaragua. We believe that Nicaraguans must solve the problems in Nicaragua. The North Americans cannot do this. We're not part of their culture. And as a result, we currently have approximately 400 jobs created in Nicaragua, both with our staff and our partners.
So that is, I love what you said, that really it is the church that needs to be doing this. The church is really the answer. And I remember reading a book several years ago by Kay Warren, and she said, you know, the Lord looks at the orphan crisis, and for the solution, he put all his eggs in one basket, and that basket is the church.
That's great. Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. So that is true. And I love, you know, that vision of Nicaraguans helping Nicaraguans. They've got to be there. They're on the ground. It's their culture. They have to be the ones doing this. But the American church here can definitely come alongside and support and pray and empower the local churches in Nicaragua to do this.
Exactly. And that is exactly our hope and our goal as we partner in Nicaragua.
Good. So I know you mentioned that the mission is to rescue abandoned and abused and orphaned children. So when you rescue them, what does that look like? Do you place them in orphanages or families, or what do you do?
We do a number of things. As some of the children are living in our orphanages, we partner with six orphanages. We have about 350 children currently living in our orphanages. But we are also aligning and working with the local churches to prevent children from going to orphanages through our local church initiative, which includes feeding programs, pregnant women clubs. We have nutritionists on board. We have after-school education programs, everything that we can do to support the children being able to stay in their community and with their family.
I love that. Because prevention, that's really the best tool, because then children do not become orphaned. So you can stop the cycle right there.
Yeah, I think in the U.S. we think of orphans as children whose parents are dead or
right.
Don't have any relatives to care for them. In Nicaragua, it's different. The majority of our orphan children are social orphans.
Right.
They come from abject poverty, and their parents are faced with the decision to keep them safe, nourished, have an opportunity to place them in an orphanage. So in our orphanages, the majority of our children do have family. Now, some are placed there because of terrible abuse through the social service agency, Mi Familia, but others continue to have contact with their families while they're living in the orphanage and can go home for vacations, or family members will visit them. So
yep.
It's a different model than what we routinely think about in the U.S. So these are really children at risk. They're from abject poverty, and their family is trying to do the best they can for them. So if we can come alongside the community and help keep the children living with their families. That is one of our goals as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think most people here really, you know, when we think of orphan, we think of a child whose both parents have passed away and they end up in an orphanage somewhere. And I've, you know, through my work, I have heard the statistic. It's something like 80% of the children in orphanages pretty much worldwide have at least one living parent or relative. So they're not really an orphan in the traditional sense that we might think of orphan, but like you said, they're social orphans. And because of several reasons, and abject poverty being one of them, the children are in an orphanage, you know, and there are countries where parents will place their children in an orphanage just so they at least can have food and education.
That is correct. And I've had been fortunate to meet some of the parents of the children in our orphanages, and many of them are very loving, very concerned about their children. There was one mom who walked miles to meet her son at church every Sunday. Hmm. She walked literally 4 or 5 miles just to be at church with him and spend that time with him every Sunday.
Wow. So, and it's not parent, they don't want to relinquish their children, but backed into a corner, sometimes it seems like it's the only hope for their child to have a future. But really, we know kids belong in families. So I love the work that you're doing by preventing vulnerable children from being orphaned and coming alongside and supporting those families. And that's really the key piece of the puzzle that the local church can be a part of.
Correct. That's right.
Wonderful. So I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today is Peggy King, Volunteer Director of Program Excellence for Orphan Network. Orphan Network ministers in Nicaragua, and they believe that the local church is the hope of the world. Orphan Network strives to raise up Nicaraguans to make a difference in the lives of children. And amazingly enough, this ministry was started by a few teen boys who, on a missions trip to Nicaragua, visited an orphanage, and they were wrecked. They could not get past it. And thankfully, they couldn't. Thankfully, they allowed the Holy Spirit to really break their heart for the orphan. And as time went on, through one of the dads, a pastor, this ministry was started, and they've been ministering to, Peggy, did you say 22,000 children?
We're up to about 22,000 children currently, yes.
That is amazing, amazing. So I just want to ask you, share with us some of the ways Orphan Network is accomplishing these goals.
Okay. We have an overarching, for lack of a better term, of an umbrella of what our goals are. And the first is to bring children to Christ. And that is our overarching goal. Mm. And we have three components of that. The first is our orphanage and transition program with our 6 partner orphanages, which I've spoken about previously. We have what we call targets on the wall for our children. And we want them to be followers of Christ. That's number one. We want them to be able to speak conversational English. That will give them an opportunity to find a job. With tourism, and there's call centers in Nicaragua, speaking English is a real hands up for children to be able to find a job. We also want our children to be computer literate, so we have a full computer program in all of our orphanages. Of course, they attend school. And we're proud to say that for 5 years in a row, all eligible students completed high school with a diploma. Mm. And that in a community where about 50 or 60% of our children complete 6th grade.
Wow.
We have a transition program for these children as they age out of the orphanage. We don't just leave them, but we have a transition program to help them with their life skills development, vocational training, and or university, and the children can receive scholarships to complete their education, because our goal is for them to find a good starter job and also remain active in the church and give back to their community. So we do follow the children. We are available to support them into their 20s as they as they move out into the community. We've been able to find great internships. Our children are well, present well, they're educated, and right now we have large companies pursuing us to provide children with potential for employment with them. We've also partnered with LAM International to train our caregivers on handling children coming from tough places through their trauma-informed care program. So that's our first leg. The second leg is working in our communities with the local churches. We have, as I said, about 22,000 children that we're involved with for our two phases. We have two levels of relationships with the local churches. The first is life savings, and we're in 189 locations with over 15,000 children. And there we provide holistic tools and core services such as fortified rice for their feeding centers, deworming treatments, toothbrushes. We also focus on leadership development and spiritual development with storyboards and things like that. As we develop our relationship with our phase one churches, we look for opportunities to have a more holistic approach and move into a life-changing relationship with them. And this is done through interviews, vetting, really working closely with the pastors and their leadership development by our staff in Nicaragua. Currently, in our life-changing local church initiative, we are at 51 locations. And there, not only do they receive fortified rice meals, but they also receive nutritionist-created menus. We train our cooks. They have biannual medical assessments. We ensure that they have clean water in their environment, hygiene training. We have a pregnant women's club. We are modeling, I'm not sure if everyone is aware, but the first 1,000 days from conception to 2 years old is where we have the biggest opportunity to raise healthy children. So our pregnant women's club is following the first 1,000 day model. And this is really cool because the Pregnant Women's Club is led by women in the community. Orphan Network has trained the women in the community, and now they are working with the pregnant women. They're also working with young girls who join that group to discuss things like abstinence, how to handle potential abuse and other subjects. And once again, really focus on spiritual development. We provide manga Bibles, Jesus and Me books, etc. So that is our more holistic, complete, and we've got great relationships with these pastors. We've also implemented an after-school education program for our children through grade 6.
It sounds like sorry to cut you off. It sounds like an incredible amount of work that Orphan Network has developed into. But in the early days of the ministry, you did a lot of missions trips in Nicaragua, but that strategy kind of has changed a bit since 2010. Now you do what you call smart missions trips. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, smart missions is an exciting part of our learning and evolution. In the beginning, when we first went to Nicaragua, we focused on U.S. Folks going on a trip. Over the years, we learned that we were doing some really great things for God's kingdom in the U.S., but we also were unintentionally doing harmful things in Nicaragua because we were not being as respectful at times of their culture and their needs. In 2010, we read the book When Helping Hurts, How to Alleviate Poverty Without Hurting the Poor and Yourself, which is I don't know if people have read that. I highly recommend it. And it challenged the ministry to take a strongly objective view of how we do missions. And we changed our focus. Rather than providing a hand out to people by going down there and bringing a lot of candy and toys for the kids and everything, we decided we would give a hand up to the material poor by supporting the folks in Nicaragua. So our approach is a serving as a servant when we go to Nicaragua. We have two types of trips. One is a vision trip, and those are for people who are searching for how they can use their gifts, their gifts from God to build God's their kingdom. And we invite them to come and join us in Nicaragua for a firsthand look at what a Christian-centered ministry is all about and how we accomplish that. We expose those individuals to life in a developing country. We engage them in meeting the poor. Mother Teresa said, "The poor are Jesus in this in his most disturbing disguise." And so we want people to look in the eyes of these children or these moms and see Jesus and hold their hands because Jesus is there with them. And then we want for those on the vision trip to see how they can impact impact Nicaragua based on their relationship with God and what they hear back from God and the Holy Spirit. We also have serving trips. And the serving trips is a really a unique idea that we don't determine who is going to Nicaragua on a serving trip. The Nicaraguan partners determine if a proposed trip, based on the skill sets of the individuals coming down, will help them reach their goal. And in that way, the serving trip, the U.S. folks will come down and come alongside the NICA leadership in their community, support their plans and initiatives. I mean, we've done things like with our transition students, we've had businessmen come down and teach interviewing, job skills, job search, how to find a job. We've had teachers come down and work with our English teachers to enhance our English program. We've had pastors come down and work with pastor development and education. And then, of course, our medical teams, we've had doctors come down and do medical education with our medical brigades that are out of the community. So those are some of the examples of serving trips that we are coming alongside our Nicaraguan partners to build them up and to support them.
That sounds incredible. And, let me ask you.
Don't forget it. When you come home, you don't forget it.
Oh yeah, any mission trip always is just life changing. So and those are incredible, very purposeful missions trip. So I see why you call them smart missions. So let me ask you this, Peggy. We only have a couple of minutes, and I was hoping you could share a testimony or a success story with us.
Okay, I'm going to share a story about Jorge. Jorge was the boy that my husband and I met the first evening of our first trip to Nicaragua. We were at Casa Bernabe Orphanage. Jorge came to the orphanage at around 8, and he's a social orphan. He was malnourished. His mom could not take care of him. We met him when he was about 16, and we committed to sponsor him through our transition program, the Orphan Network transition program. He seemed really sad. He never smiled, or very seldom. But he had laser focus on getting ahead. It's interesting that he reconnected with his father after we met him, so he was about 18 or 19 when he reconnected with his father. His father had been looking for him. His father lived in Managua and was unaware that Jorge was in an orphanage in Managua. Jorge was part of the Orphan Network transition program. He became fluent in English, completing university-level English. He graduated from college with a degree in IT technology. Because of his English and computer skills, he got an internship at IMAR, which is an international shipping company. After his internship, they hired him, and he's received promotions. The cool thing, too, is that Jorge is giving back. He's funding a scholarship for a young girl of a friend. He's providing school supplies to make sure that his younger brother is ready for school every year. And the cool thing is now he smiles and he has confidence. We're really excited. We're going to be Skyping with Jorge on Easter Sunday.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Yeah, we've had a relationship with him for about 9 years now. He's like our Nicaraguan son.
So I mean, and that's just an incredible, just a life-changing story for that young man.
Yes, it absolutely is, and he appreciates it, and the fact that he's giving back just makes we're just so proud of him.
Wonder.
And that's because of the guidance he received from Orphan Network and the great people in Nicaragua who are supporting our children.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Peggy, and sharing with us about the incredible work of Orphan Network in Nicaragua. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And if you would like to learn more about Orphan Network, you can visit their website at orphannetwork.org. And that just has one N in it. One N shares the orphan and the network. So that's orphannetwork.org. And a lot of our coffee that we drink comes from Nicaragua. So when you're having your cup of coffee, pray for the orphans, the vulnerable children, and the families in Nicaragua. We hope you enjoyed today's show. And if you'd like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them right on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on radio show and you'll find a menu of shows. They're listed by guest name and topic. You can also help us to continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. We are a 501c3 all-volunteer-run organization, so your gifts go straight to the work of Justice for Orphans. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO inspires, equips, and educates the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and global orphan care, such as we talked about today. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I would love to come share with your church about why and how we can walk out James 1:27. So contact me. You can find me right through our website. Again, that's justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.